There is nothing that could justify what happened on Saturday morning. Nothing.
That's Fort Worth, Texas Mayor Betsy Price.
An officer was on the other side who shouted commands, and before she had a moment to respond, he shot her to death.
And that's Lee Merritt, the lawyer for the family of the slain victim, 28-year-old Tatiana Jefferson. Jefferson was in her mother's home last Saturday night, playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew, when officers responded to the property for a welfare check called in by a concerned neighbor. According to body camera footage of the encounter, officers never properly identified themselves to Ms. Jefferson when they barked orders to her to put her hands up. She was killed a moment later after then-officer Aaron Dean fired a single shot through a bedroom window.
My whole idea is to have a fair trial.
But for Dean, could that be an uphill battle?
It's not an open and shut case, but then again, I'm a defense lawyer, and looking through my optic lens, I don't think it's an open and shut. I think there's always different pieces of evidence that come together to either prove the state's case or leave reasonable doubt in the minds of jurors. Obviously, there's probably going to be enough probable cause for an indictment, but there's always going to be facts. And so that's why you got to wait till you get in the courtroom, and then the judge is going to decide what the evidence is. And evidence comes in, it comes in only two ways, either through somebody's testimony or through documents. And only that evidence is what's going to be considered.
James Bell is an experienced trial lawyer in Texas, New York, and California. He's also admitted to practice in numerous federal district courts, as well as before the U.S. Supreme Court. He says that, although Dean is free on bail now, he should ready himself for a grand jury indictment that the state is sure to expedite.
The burden is a very, very low burden. It's probable cause. And if the prosecutor can show probable cause, then the grand jury will return an indictment, what they call a true bill. There's either a no bill, which is somebody doesn't get indicted, or a true bill. And most times that cases are taken to the grand jury, 99.99% of them come back as a true bill.
Do you think this story would attract the kind of attention it is already if it wasn't in such close proximity to the Amber Geiger recent trial and verdict?
No, it's getting the kind of attention just because of the Amber Geiger trial. I think that's probably a big piece of it.
And that could explain why Mayor Price felt the need to speak so sharply at a news conference with the Fort Worth police chief earlier this week.
The images released showing the gun inside Ms. Jefferson's home. The gun is irrelevant. She was in her own home caring for an 8-year-old nephew. Tatiana was a victim. She was taken from her family in circumstances that are truly unthinkable.
Bell says it's comments like those which don't do the defendant or his counsel any favors.
It's what defense lawyers face all the times, because what you have is a bunch of people in politics making public statements that have absolutely no fact whatsoever, no set of facts firsthand, direct knowledge, direct evidence, direct anything, and that have a different agenda. And what ends up happening is it ends up poisoning the future jury pool, because let's not forget that in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or a year from now, if there's no plea and if there is a trial, that begs another question. Do all these comments force the prosecution and back them in a corner where they don't want to make an offer to this guy and forces them to say, hey, it's either life in prison or capital punishment? What does that do? It forces the defendant to go to trial. And so this public pressure, these public statements, don't forget, these are all public offices. The district attorney's office is a public office, sheriff's office. I mean, these are all public offices in Texas. Some places they're appointed, Texas they're elected. And so does it poison the potential jury pool? Absolutely. And these people have no facts.
Whoever does defend Aaron Dean, however, was helped by Dean himself, suggests Bell.
Because this man quit, I mean, that was the smartest thing from a defense perspective he can do. Well, why? Because, hey, look, if he's suspended, there's an administrative hearing. He's got to talk to them. Does he take the Fifth Amendment in order to keep his job? What's the Fort Worth policy? Does it mean that he has to share his rendition of events? You got to remember, as the defense lawyer, you don't want your client ever speaking, because every bit of information is a commodity. It's a piece of information that's valuable, and you're either going to get boxed in or you're not. And people's memories are different. So you don't want your client ever making a statement.
So if Bell was defending Dean, what would be his first order of business?
The first thing you need to do is get the facts under control. as we sit here right now, nobody has the facts under control. He'd need to hire some investigators his own to run down the background, run down any cameras in the area, any witness statements. You got to remember, the government's got, for the most part, an unlimited budget. And so they've got 10 detectives, police officers. Defendant doesn't have anybody.
Does a plea then make sense? Not immediately, says Bell.
You want to go get the facts, and then if the facts aren't good and you tell the client, hey, look, after evaluating it, I think it's your peers, there's a good chance you're going to get convicted. That's when you start talking pleas with the client and or the prosecutor.
Another possibility for Dean is a lesser charge than murder first, but that would have to come from the bench.
The judge makes the determination with respect to whether or not to include a lesser included offense. So, for example, in the Amber Geiger trial, the judge made the decision to include manslaughter in the charge that goes back to the jury.
And here's something else to consider.
Until and unless the judge makes that decision of whether or not to include it in the charge, and the defense could object and say, hey, look, we want all or nothing. It's either, you know, if they put on a case of self-defense or mistake of fact, they would object and say it's an all or nothing because there's no way the jury's going to convict him of intentional homicide. Obviously, this was a mistake, or if anything, it was reckless. So then at that point, the defense would be arguing not to include a lesser included offense in the charge.
Right, because they think they could just beat the first-degree
yep.
murder charge.
Absolutely.
As Bell makes clear with that illustration.
It starts getting very technical, and you start making chess moves and bets on things. A lot of moving parts within a trial. A lot of moving parts.
Which is a convenient advantage the defense will likely need, because that jury pool, due to the high profile of the case itself, can easily tip the scale towards the state even before opening statements.
If you're the prosecutor during voir dire, you ask a question to the jury. How many people here have heard about this case? All the hands go up. And despite hearing about this case, I mean, you can still be fair and equitable, and you will follow Judge so-and-so's law, won't you? Yeah. So you could set aside everything you've heard about this case in the news. You could set that aside and not think about it and only evaluate this case based on the evidence that comes in through this trial and which is allowed by this judge. Yes, you could promise and look me in the eye and look the judge in the eye and look the defendant in the eye and promise that you could do that. Yes. So if the defense gets up during their portion of voir dire and asks you, you know, if you come in here with a bias, you're going to tell them no, because you didn't form a bias and that you're able to be fair and impartial. So if you're the state, you're trying to commit the jurors to not having this bias that's the elephant in the room that's already out there. So you got to imagine the defense lawyer, it's just like pulling your hair out listening to that, committing the jurors who obviously have been influenced by the news, the media, some rendition of events, and have kind of a preconceived notion. And then the prosecution trying to commit them to go, oh, no, I don't have any bias. I can set that aside. But how fair is that?
Andrew Skoroy, WDEL, Delaware's News Radio.